Well, then, this is a drop for this horse. Out of a non-winner is a two to a $50,000 three-year-old. But you're right in your statement. If this were for older, you would be right. Everybody understand that, because it's kind of a crucial an idea, because most people blow this one. They don't differentiate between three-year-olds and older. Yeah, this is a three-year-old only race. So it's coming out of a non-winners of two, which is a higher level, easily higher level than this three-year-old race. What about in caustic? How many of you use this horse? Not many of you. Okay. I think encaustic can be had in here too, but I got to tell you something about encaustic, and I'll save you all some trouble now. Draw a line through the horse. It's a late scratch. Scratched on the post parade. But I think you were right in choosing the third race back. Because basically this horse is doing the same as El Hero is, who has only won a non-winners of one, and he's coming back to the claiming too, as this horse would have been also. High Flappin', how many of you use this horse? Almost no one. I did. I used the third race back at Laurel. Well, see, basically they're back in April, which I really don't like using, plus they're on a different circuit. Well, that does, yeah, but it's, I'm sorry, what, it makes it up closer?
So, Fulton was a different time of the year and you open for the reviews?
Well, yeah, no, actually, if those had been current races compared to the Pimlico Laurel, I'd have still gone to the Pimlico Laurel. Because what's happened, if you look, the horse is transferred from one circuit to another, and on this circuit he shows no early speed. And he's done it three times, so why go back to Oakland where he has early speed in favor of the three races where he can't keep up? Pardon? I can't hear that at all. Well, I don't know what Oakland is, but that's kind of unimportant. It's his ability to keep up with the pace of these two races. Now, whether it's a slower track or not would be reflected in the track-to-track adjustments, but that's not what we're dealing with. What about David's Wolf? This is a very strong contender, folks. Now, take for just a moment. Now, we accepted El Hero out of a kind of a fair race in which you beat five horses in an allowance race with a purse of $18,000, right? Where was poor David's Wolf at his last race? That was a $25,000 purse at the same track. God knows what that was. That could have been their version of a classified allowance race. Now, if I'm taking El Hero on the drop, you've got to take David's Wolf, don't you? Okay. Now, he's dropping out of several of those, but three races back, he wins a 7-furlong race at Laurel. Plus, he's a winning racehorse. He's 5-for-11. Give him a break. Now, this is a major class drop on this horse. And there's nothing suspicious because he fits all of your contender guidelines that I gave you, isn't it? Isn't he up close to the second call? He actually ran pretty well against those horses. What about a mare run? Sure. I chose the fourth race back for the same reason I chose it with David's Wolf. Identical race, yeah. Anybody have any problem with that? You're well within your... You know, I mean, this. I said this was more difficult. I gave it to that side of the room because they look brighter. That's really cool. But this is more difficult than the other race. It's clearly more difficult, but it's still a kind of call you can make routinely. But again, it's a matter of knowing the fundamentals, knowing where these... You know, part of it is knowing where these allowance races fit, how strong they are, how weak they are. You got a hand up.
What about the fifth back?
The reason I chose the fourth back is because it's under identical circumstances. The fifth back was at Atlantic Racecourse, which is a much lesser track.
No, a
Mary Run. I'm sorry. I chose it because of the conditions of this race. There's no reason for me to leapfrog over it. But if you want to, be my guest. All right. There are certain things that are right and wrong. This is not one of them. But one of the things, I think I'll be more right than you will if you choose that race. But that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, if I'm right one more time in 20 than you, maybe that thin an edge. Okay. What about Brookwood? Why? Well, he's just going backwards. You know, if you try to use his race four races back, you are ignoring the pertinent data. And the pertinent data is this horse is about to be led away to the farm. He needs some time if he's ever going to be any good again. You know, and to be dead, he's been over a month off after his last race, which was dreadful also. He didn't even finish it. Now, granted, it was on a turf course, but he even kind of crawled along behind them. Race before that, the horse after that, Old Marf, you know, he's due. I kind of hate to throw a horse out that's that due. He's horrible. I'll tell you one thing. Let me get this pattern implanted, too. Don't spend any time with this horse. Because I know a lot of people, you know, I see it all the time. A lot of people will take a horse like this and say, you know, I had a horse like this beat me a year ago. And it paid $56. Well, in the meantime, you might have really spent all of the earnings that you might have made on that horse chasing that same horse. And I'll make a point perfectly clear, me and Nixon. Every horse can win some kind of race. It happens to you. A horse that pays $200 has no form, right? And yet they'll win a race occasionally. But you can't let that bother you. You can't change your handicapping to accommodate those kinds of horses. So just if Old Marf should win this race, and he will not, just don't let it bother you. Yes? He is improving. You're right. God is getting better every time. Look at, he actually led. He's due and he's improving. All right, I'm going to change my mind and put him in. What about A Call to Rise? There's a lot of yeses to this, okay? How many of you want this horse in? How many of you want this horse out? Now, I'm going to draw your attention to something. I want him out, okay, but I can add him at the last minute. Now, let me tell you why I want him out. What kind of sprinter is this horse? One of the questions you have to ask yourself at the beginning of a race, can this horse do what he's being asked to do today? Can he do it? Is there any evidence at all that he can do it? That's the first question. Now, sometimes you can't answer that. But take a look at his sprint ability. And look who hammered him on July 18th. Okay. Can this horse sprint? Now, he's got speed in his routes, but look at the fractions in those last three routes to the half mile. Now, we threw out Omar, who got the lead in 47. Why would we add this horse with that? If we don't have the data down at the bottom, you might give him some thought. But you have some data in there that shows how he sprints, and his route fractions are dreadfully slow. Yes?
Tom, I know this is probably a reach, but would it make any difference if he's an older horse as opposed to a three-year-old?
Would it make any? No. No, not, I mean...
It looks like he might be improving. I know it's...
I understand what you're saying. And it might. I mean, you might want to add him yourself. But I got to tell you, if you add him, he's going to go nowhere for you because of that fraction, that first fraction. But that's deceptive. Well, if you're going to use one of the keys to making the route to sprint adjustment, bringing it backwards, choosing the pace line in the three quarters in a route, bringing it back to a sprint, that immediately implies that this horse can sprint. Because if you have route fractions of like 48 to 113, 4 or some other such number, well, that's still not a sprinter, even when you drag him back. So be careful with that. If you're going to take a router in a sprint, make sure the fractions are fast before you do that. Yes, 7 furlongs is unusual. Yeah. They do, but route horses that can run fast. Okay, there is a crucial difference here. Now, if you want to add him, I'm not saying you're really wrong with this, but I think you are. But it's not one of these things that I'm telling you you're doing the wrong thing. If you like him, put him in. It may cost you a bet here or there down the line, but it's not going to be a major problem for you. You're not doing something dreadfully wrong. You don't have to do this in the privacy of your closet. Yes?
Is Wouldn't you say he's on the improve as a three-year-old, even raising him in class a little bit?
Well, yeah, he might be improving, but he still can't sprint. See, that's still, to me, that's a great... If his let's talk about this. His last race, let's give a what-if. Suppose in his last race, if I can ever find him again, suppose in his last race the fractions were 46-3, 111-2. All right?
Run to the windows.
A run to the windows, right? Now that's a horse that's improving, showing better speed. Now what's probably being done with this horse is that they're putting in here hoping he'll sharpen his speed so he can keep up or get the lead and go on. Because he doesn't run very fast in these routes. And that would be a horse that would be improving. But it's kind of a crucial difference there.
But how about comparing it with Silent Dean?
Sure.
Had no speed either.
Oh. Well, that's why I threw it out. I threw Silent Dame out. It cost me the... It was no danger of winning. And what happened is Lady Be Cool put away the whole field and the router came plodding along to be second right at the last step, knocked me out of my quinella. That's what I'm saying. You're not totally... I'm not going to tell you you're absolutely wrong here. What I'm trying to do is point out the probability. And the probability is that you're wrong with this horse. But it's not one of these 90-10 things.
Don't you look like the kind of horse that's going to dominate this field too, though?
El Hero?
David's
good. Go on.
We agree with everything that you said, but we put a call to Rise in because of his ATV. I mean, he's got a super 192 ATV.
Okay.
And the computer kicked him right back out.
All right. And but see, one of the reasons that I don't use APV, and it's still a good guide, I will admit that. But one of the reasons I don't use it is that these are three-year-olds, right? Early in the season, some of them are a little more precocious than others. Sometimes it was in the two-year-old season that they were ahead of the rest of them. But then the other ones tend to catch up. And one of these horses could have been competitive, earning or even winning in a stakes race as a two-year-old or as an early three-year-old. But when everybody matures, these horses are no longer any good. Well, that APV stays with them for several years. And they'll keep popping up these horses in the APV when they're no longer anywhere near that good. You got to be careful with that, especially with the younger horses, lightly raced, especially younger.
What if you were to keep it within, like, say, a three-year-old or a two-year-old within that class or age bracket? Would it be?
Oh, you said what if you keep it by age bracket?
What if as a two-year-old it had only raced against two-year-olds with the APV? Have any validity?
Because
I don't use APV.
Well, see, now, you're asking me to comment on something I don't use. I don't use APV.
Okay?
And so far today, we haven't had to resort to anything in these races except contender guidelines, some basic handicapping principles. That's all we've done. So we haven't had to go to anything else. What I'm trying to do, because I've talked to several people now in the last several days and at lunch today, that agonize over some of these things because the fundamentals aren't quite straight. In other words, where do I go, what do I do to get to these points? And what I'm saying is, you look at the race, you kind of analyze it for running styles, which we did in one race because it was a gift. The rest of these aren't quite that important, but you'll analyze it for running styles. Then you begin to look at the current condition on these horses, which lines you want to use, who are contenders. Then you go put it in a computer, and then you go on and do something else. What the people I sympathize with, and I'd like to cure it, are people that spend an hour, hour and a half with a single race. And they're here. There are people who do that. And I can see why. But part of it is that it's the pattern recognition skills that aren't there yet. So that you look at it and say, well, this horse is not in here. Here's the pace line because I know that's the pace line. The only way you get that is by doing it right enough times and doing it wrong enough times. Both. Yes?
I don't want to beat a dead horse.
Well, you are. No, go ahead.
The APV figures that I use are the APV figures that were earned during 1991. So it was only the three-year-old APV figures that I used.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, I started off by saying that we had a question with that horse to begin with.
Yeah.
But rather than sit there and agonize over it, we went to APV. We said, what the hell, let's throw it in there.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're...
And the computer did exactly what it was supposed to do. It threw it right back at
you. Good. And my argument's not with you. My argument is in a general sense. Not so much this horse, because I told you, I mean, you can put this horse in and you can make an argument, and it could be a 60-40 thing as to whether you're right or wrong. It's not one of these high probability against it. But see, again, it goes back to the point I made about APV. On a sloppy track, at 60 cents on the dollar, at Philadelphia Park, this horse won the Philmont Stakes early in the year. just after he was 12 days a three-year-old. That's the APV he's living on. I'm sorry, I'm looking at David's Wolf. God almighty. I had changed the page. I'm sorry. That is my mistake all the way up and down. I keep trying to get on to the rest of it. Okay, I accept that silent... the call to rise can be a contender in this race. Okay. Yes?
Tom, if you look at his last four races, that's really the APV. He ran in four stakes. I think he finished fifth twice and third twice.
Okay.
They were pretty high prices.
A call to rise?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the way in the bottom.
Yeah. No, they said... Oh, yeah, okay, those were 91s.
Yeah.
All right. Back to my original point, just do anything you want on that. But I think you're going to be wrong more than you're right, but you're not going to be wrong all the time on that call. That's the bottom line on that. Can we go on? Yes.
Back to high flapping, Tom.
Yes.
Why did you choose the third rather than the most recent?
Anybody have any ideas on that?
Why throw a bad one in?
On high flapping, why the third as opposed to the last two?
6.5 furlongs today, 7.
Well, that's one of the reasons. You're getting a little longer race, first of all. You're getting the same kind of class drop you're getting on these other horses. Okay, on El Hero, we jumped back to a claiming race, right? But we went back to a good race. But we didn't penalize him for running him at this higher level. We're just doing the same thing. We're giving this horse the benefit of the doubt. Going to 6.5 furlongs, giving him a better race. Because once you say he's a contender... Now, let's talk about this for just a minute. If you say a horse is a... Say Encaustic. If you declare Encaustic to be a contender, why in heaven's name would you put in the last race? Then he's not a contender, and then you shouldn't have made him a contender. So what I'm saying is that High Flapping for me can win this race. Therefore, I'm going to give him the opportunity to do so. For a couple of reasons. The class drop will move these horses up. I mean, the one thing you cannot escape, even though a lot of them lose... is that more horses win on the drop than they do on the rise or staying at the same level. They do. But the problem with that is you've got to separate the ones that are dropping positively and the ones that are dropping negatively. That's what makes that difficult. But you can't get away from the fact that more win on the drop. All right, let's get this race up. Have you got it, Spencer? All right. Let me get the results for it. Now, Encaustic was scratched at the gate.
Mike, please.
The mic.
Just a minute. Then they have the light back. Is that loud enough? Thanks. Here we go. All right, I needed the results chart before I could get out here. Okay. If you'll cue them up. Now, you see we have 6, 6.5, 7, 7. Now hit the next screen, hit the next one, and answer this one yes. Now this is a feature the program's got that I explained before that enables us now to compare them all at a common distance. Is that fairly close? Now they're all running at 7 furlongs. I like this feature. So now let's go beyond that. The answer to that is no, no. Okay, just bring them all in. All right, we have 4 horses in here. Hit the 5. If the race runs to the early side, El Hero wins it. David's Wolf runs 2nd. And is it High Flapping 3rd there? High Flapping is 3rd. Is that true? I mean, I'm asking a question because I see it sideways over here. Okay. The only thing I'm sure of is that El Hero's on top here. Go to the next one. If it runs to the sustained side, David's Wolf is on top, Amera is 2nd, Flappin is 3rd, and El Hero doesn't perform quite as well at 7 furlongs. Now go to Theromation. Now one of the things you're going to see here is a little bit of a distortion, and I'll explain it to you in a moment. I know. Who wins this race?
David.
Well, remember now that this is not on the racetrack. Okay. I'm going to tell you what happened on the racetrack in a minute. David's wins. El Hero 2nd?
Yeah. Yes.
And Amera 3rd, is that it?
Yeah.
All right, but a close third. The distortion you're going to see here is that David's Wolf, did you see him come across the screen?
Yeah.
Well, David's Wolf is a front runner, isn't he? And the race we chose for him, by necessity almost, was a race in which he was at 7 furlongs, and typically everybody took a hold of the horse, their horses, and the pace was slowed down. And he really reacted well to that. That doesn't change him from being the top horse here. But what I'm saying is that it changes his screen a little bit. Don't expect him to come running across the track. Expect him to be in front. Everybody see that? Because you still have the past performances available. And if you think he's going to come from out of the clouds to win this race, you're wrong. That's not his style.
Do it again.
All right, put it up again. Now look at your... Don't start it. Oh, you started. It's all right. Now here comes David Wolf from out of the clouds, right? But he's a front runner. And visually, you know that. Now, that doesn't mean he won't win here, because even obviously he's a tough contender. So if you go back to the pre-play S and E, David's Wolf is on top on one of them, second on the other, and is on top here on the instant. I mean, on the Throwmation, right? He's top here. I'm second here. I'm sorry. And he's on top here. Now, how do you want to play this race so far? All right, write your bet down. Remember now you have Quinella's, all the rest of it. Just write it down. Now you go to the next screen while they're doing that. And go to the next screen, and to the next one, and to the next one, and to the next one. Skip over this one. All right. Now here are the here's the expenditure against pars, E, sustained, and presser. All right, now, go back to Throwmation again, all the way back. Now, this race will not run the way Throwmation projects it because that horse happened to slow down the pace at 7 furlongs. It will provide, however, the winner. And that's personally, I'd just rather have the winner than have it run across the screen on top. The program does that. Go ahead and run it. All right, David's Wolf wins. And he won the race, wire to wire. All right. The horse that ran second, beaten just a step, one step past the finish line, was in front. Who would you guess that to be? El Hero. One more step and El Hero wins it. Now, the problem here might be the prices, right? Now, for those of you that don't live in Maryland, don't contribute. You can turn on the light now. How many of you made a two-horse bet? The two horses. One of them was David's Wolf, I presume. You almost can't avoid that. If you do, you're just not paying attention to what the program is telling you. And how many of you made...